I want to jump into the message this morning. I don't know if you've noticed, but we changed seasons. I know it doesn't feel like it because it's going to be 94 today. So it doesn't feel like we changed seasons, but we're looking forward to autumn and all of the nothing that it has to offer. It's just going to stay hot. And then one day it's going to sleet, and then it's going to get hot again. That day of sleet will be called winter. This day is called autumn, when it's 93, 94. But I did notice in the air, instead of being 80 in the morning, it was like 77. And I was like, ooh, I might need to get a coat on. So, you know, but this is autumn. So if you're new to Texas, if you just moved here, this is as good as it gets. So you're just going to have to Google what foliage looks like when it changes color. Because you won't see it. One day they'll be green, and then they'll be on the ground. That's just, it'll be a windstorm, and there will be no changing of color. But I'm all cozied up and ready for Thanksgiving and Christmas. I love to cook, so I want to tell a story. A lady was, have you ever been needing to grab one more thing the day before Thanksgiving, and you have to go by the grocery store? And you're like, oh, no, I thought of everything. I've got to get home to make the pies so that they have time to cool, and I've got to prep the vegetables and the casseroles, and you're like, oh, crud. And make what's more is, let's picture some gal. She's coming by, and she's like, I've got to just zip into the grocery store real quick and grab the cranberry. We forgot the cranberry. And hopefully you get yours that's the jelly kind without the chunks of cranberry because you're not a sociopath because that's gross. But anyway, it's raining. So in our story, it's raining. She just had her hair did because she's got family coming in and she doesn't want her sister to judge her for not doing her hair. So she had it done, right? So, and it's raining and she pulls in and it's packed all the way to the street, not a single empty parking space. But this is a woman of great faith and power. She goes to New Life Family Church. She's full of the Holy Ghost. So she's driving along and she stops to pray and says, Dear Lord, I know it's pouring down rain, but I just have to run in for one quick thing. And I know I had it, my hair did. And could you please open up a parking spot close to the store? And right then, some reverse lights come on and a car starts backing up right up next to the store. And she goes, oh, never mind, God. Something happened to make itself work itself out. How often do we pray for something? God does it. And we're like, oh, never mind, Lord. It just happened that way. That was a coincidence. And what we end up doing is taking the Lord for granted. The last few weeks, we've been talking about the Holy Spirit, the power and presence of God that he's given us on earth. 3 weeks ago, we talked about being filled with the Holy Spirit. And we talked about living in the Holy Spirit. Today, I want to talk about what does it look like when we take the Holy Spirit for granted? This amazing power and presence of God, but we act like God's not working on our behalf. Let me remind you, it's a verse we've read the last few weeks, John chapter 14. Jesus is promising to give us a gift. The Lord says, I'm going to ask my Father, he's going to give you another advocate. Some translations say another comforter who will never leave you. This gift is the Holy Spirit, who leads in all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and they don't recognize him. But you know him because right now he's living with you, talking about Jesus' spirit being in proximity to them. But later he will be in you, talking about the baptism, the immersion in the Holy Spirit. Verse 18, I'm not going to abandon you. I will not leave you like an orphan. I will come to you. So we know that after the resurrection, Jesus was with the disciples. He gave them a few last teachings, and then Jesus returned to heaven. And then he sent his spirit to not be with his followers, but to be in his followers. It was a promised gift for the Holy Spirit to live in us so that we would never be alone and that we would not only have his presence and as a comforter, but that it was his power. Acts 1:8 says that it is the power of God unto salvation. So keep that in mind as we make it super spiritual and talk about Charlie Brown. In 1981, back in the old days, they used to make Charlie Brown specials about once a year. And because there was no digital motion graphic animation. They had to like literally draw frame by frame and then piece them together. So it took a year to come up with a 30-minute special. But when the kids would go back to school in the usually September, they would release the Charlie Brown special for the year. And in 1981, I was 7 years old, and they released Charlie Brown's It's Magic. And it was amazing. And every kid in all of America watched that episode because Snoopy made Charlie Brown disappear. And he couldn't bring him back. So Charlie Brown was invisible for the whole episode. He was so invisible that he finally got to kick that football right off the tee and Lucy couldn't pull it away in time. Lucy, that little trollop, kept pulling that ball away. You laugh because you're not sure what the word trollop means, but you think it was a little inappropriate but good enough for church. So that was in September of 1981, and I was a seven-year-old kid, and I thought, I want to be just like Snoopy, and I want to be a magician, and I want to make my friends disappear. But anyway, so I began to ask for a magic kit for Christmas. Now, I don't know if you've ever had a... Oh, yeah, that went up really early. Great. Okay, so that ruined the punchline of that story. Wow, that's cool. I'll get over that. So I asked for it September, October, November. I kept asking and begging and asking and begging for the magic kit. So my parents loved me, and they had $35, so they got me the magic kit. So there's seven-year-old me on Christmas opening my magic kit. I look like a young Michael Scott. So, but here's the thing. The magic kit had all these tricks and gizmos and gadget and a long book explaining all the tricks. It was meant for 8 to 12-year-olds, you know, how on the but I was a big boy, so at 7, I got the 8-year-old present. Now, here's a problem. I barely knew how to read, and most of the tricks were over my head. So I learned, like, one trick, and I put the hat on, and I held the magic wand, but I never, it had, like, 30 tricks in there, and I never did more than, like, the one simple one that a 7-year-old could do. So I got frustrated with it. I put it all back in the box. I stopped playing with it. I put it in my closet, and then years later, I threw it away. This is a gift that I asked for, I begged for, and then I received it, but I didn't put in the time to figure out how it works, so I took it for granted and ended up throwing it away. Does anybody know where I'm going with this message? Okay, good. Have you ever taken something for granted? You ever had ice-cold air conditioning in your car or truck, and then it goes out in August? And you're like, whoa, and you do everything you can to get it fixed right away. And then you think, when it's fixed, I will never take my air conditioning for granted again. I know most of you guys are super upper middle class, white collar people, but have you ever been homeless before? I have. To not have a place to lay your head? Now, I wasn't so homeless that I was living on the streets. We had my family during a tough time at New Life when there really wasn't any money years ago and the church was struggling. We went and lived in a motel because I couldn't afford to put a roof over my family's head. So when we finally rented our next house and it opened up and we saved up enough money and we put down the rent and we laid our heads on that pillow that night, I began to cry and I thought, I'll never take having a roof over my head for my family for granted again. I don't know if you've ever been fired from a job. I have. And it's like you've been laid off, you've been fired, whatever, but that paycheck that you expect every 2 weeks, it's not gonna be there. And then you get paid again and you're like, I will never take a paycheck, big or small, for granted again. You've ever had a best friend that's, you know, you go through school together, work together, whatever, and then they move away, and you're like, golly. Or a loved one that's passed away, and they're in heaven, and you're like, man, if I could just have one more moment with them, I'll never take that person for granted again. I'm talking this morning about taking the gift of the Holy Spirit for granted. The Israelites took the Lord for granted. This is a neat little story. I'm going through the Old Testament, and the people of Israel were wandering in the desert in Egypt, after Egypt, before Israel. So it's in that time when they were wandering through the desert, right? And here's the thing about deserts. There's no food. So they were starting to get hungry. So they asked Moses to ask the Lord, hey, were you going to feed us or just starve us all to death? And the Lord said, Mo, tell them not to worry. I will provide manna from heaven. I'll provide a food that every day will appear on the ground. They'll gather it, they'll eat it, and then the next day I'll do it again. So that the Lord was setting himself up as the one who will always provide for his people. Exodus chapter 16 and verse 14, when the dew evaporated, a flaky substance as fine as frost blanketed the ground. Jump down to verse 31. The Israelites called this food manna. It was white like a coriander seed, and it tasted like honey wafers. Yes, please. God's miracle white flaky honey wafers every day? That sounds amazing. But here's the problem. When God does something amazing, we end up taking it for granted. It didn't take long for Numbers chapter 11 to come along when the people of Israel were like, yeah, but I remember when we were in Egypt, when we used to eat fish for free. Just leave that verse up for a second. They weren't free. They were slaves getting beaten and whipped and murdered to build other people's pyramids. But the way they remember it was, oh, but we didn't have to eat this stupid manna. We had fish and cucumbers and melons and leeks and onions and garlic, all we wanted. And now our appetite is gone and all we ever see is this stupid manna. Ungrateful much? All we have is this miracle that God is providing for us every day. And they were ungrateful for it, and they took it for granted. God, you're never doing anything new in my life. He's like, I'm providing your daily bread, literally. Lord, we're all alone out here in the desert. And the Lord's like, I am with you with my fire and my cloud and my spirit. Yeah, but we're facing all these enemies and all these giants. And the Lord's like, yeah, but you're not alone. Don't you remember when Jesus promised the gift of the Holy Spirit? He said, I will literally give you my spirit so that you'll never be alone. You're not going to have that orphan mentality. I will always be with you. Church family, we will die spiritually if we take the Holy Spirit for granted. I forgot that I owned the magic kit. I found it in the back of my closet years and years later. And had no use for it because I had been ungrateful for it, so I just threw it away. I lived my life as if I had never received the gift. Because so much happens when we forget we've received the gift. Now, I was probably 13 or 14. I didn't care about an 8-year-old magic kit, but I do remember pulling it out of the closet and being like, oh yeah, the old magic kit from Christmas. And I like figured all the tricks out and then threw it away. When we forget the gift of the Holy Spirit, we fail at life. We face giants in our life, giants in our health, giants in our finances, giants in our family, in our faith, in our marriage. We face these giants, but instead of boldly going forward in the presence of the Lord, we shrink back in fear because we've forgotten the gift of the Holy Spirit. Friend, I'm telling you, the God that is inside of you is bigger than the giant that is in front of you. And I don't want you to forget his presence, his spirit, his power. I don't want you to take the Holy Spirit for granted. So, we need to remember the gift that has been given to us. We need to use that gift. Why is it so important? Because Jesus said, I am going to give you my spirit so that you can continue what I've started. Jesus is like, I'm going to go to heaven, and then I'm going to give you the thing that enabled me to heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils. I'm going to give you that power because in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 8, he says, New Life Family Church, I want you to heal the sick, raise the dead, cure those with leprosy, cast out demons, give to others as freely as you have received. Has received what? The gift of God's power. When was the last time you did those things? Well, I forgot that I had that power. We need to live every day as if the power of the Holy Spirit is in us. In fact, the Holy Spirit is in us and he wants to get out. He wants to go through you. Power needs a pipeline. You are that pipeline. He's put his power and his presence inside of you so that he has a mobile power factory from heaven at your job, at your school, at your dog park, at your Kroger. That's why he put his power in you. And churches die when we take the Holy Spirit for granted. The Lord taught me a valuable lesson years ago. When I was in Bible college, this would have been about 25 years ago, I went with Dr. Michael Brown on a trip to India, and it was a mission trip. We were doing crusades and teaching in Bible schools and street evangelism. It was a great trip. It was powerful. But the team that had gone a few months before us, it was about 10 or 15 people on the team, they got violently ill. And I don't know if you've ever traveled in India, but when you get sick in India, you don't get like a little indigestion. You get violent amounts of explosiveness that just comes out of every orifice of your body. and you want to lay on the floor and die. It's so sick. And what happened was the other missions team, they couldn't function because they were so sick. So we heard about what happened to them, and they couldn't minister. They couldn't do what God had called them. They're why they flew to the other side of the world to minister. So our team was so super spiritual, we prayed and we fasted and we asked God for grace. We asked God for health, that no matter what we eat, we would not get sick. And on a two-week trip, nobody got sick on our whole team. It was amazing. Like, nobody got sick. The day before, we were going to leave at like 4 or 5 a.m. So the day before, the pastor who was hosting us, he's like, all right, go ahead and start packing up your bags. We've got that one more service tonight. We'll eat a big meal together, and then we'll get you guys to the airport in the morning. And within like an hour, all 10 or 12 of us got violently ill. Gross ill. All of us at the same time. So we're like, oh, we must have eaten something we shouldn't have, blah, blah, blah. And we're retching our guts out, and we're like, we can't minister, just cancel the service. Nobody could have flown home in this state. The airline would not have wanted us to sit on their seats in this state. Here's the point. One of the leaders on our team was like, why don't we pray and ask the Lord what's going on? How could we go 2 weeks in perfect health and strength and suddenly everybody gets sick? He said, I wonder if the Lord's trying to tell us something. So we like all laid in a big sick circle and we prayed together. And he goes, does anybody feel anything from the Lord? And one guy goes, I feel like the Lord said we've taken his grace for granted. So he just very briefly, just for a few minutes, lifted his grace to show us what life would have been like without his grace. And then we immediately, it was so true, we took the grace of God for granted. So we all immediately, right there in that circle, we repented. God, I'm so sorry I took your grace for granted. You are the one that kept us from getting sick. Would you please forgive me? We all repented out loud. Immediately, everybody was better. So let me say this. The Lord, let me clear up some bad theology. We were Bible school students. We weren't just like your Joe Blow, you know, Christians who were struggling with our faith. These are men and women of God that are being raised up in the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. God did not make us get sick. God is a loving father, and I love my kids. I don't want to hurt my kids or make them sick, but I do want them to learn lessons sometimes. So the Lord just very gently lifted his grace for an hour until we realized what he did, and then we repented, and we prayed, and we asked him, and then he immediately put his grace back on us. Don't take the Lord for granted. You know what's so neat about God? He lets us take him for granted, and he still loves us, and he still pours out his Spirit on us. He's so gracious. Here's the way men are. Men, especially in Western culture, American culture, Texas culture, if you disrespect us, if you dishonor us, we're like so quick to like freak out and road rage and holler and like puff out our chest because we feel like we've been taken for granted. But the Lord is like, you take me for granted all the time and I still love you and I'm not worried about my manhood. The Lord's like, I'm pretty strong. I can handle you taking me for granted. I can handle when you're thoughtless. I can handle when you're selfish. Because you know what taking the Lord's Spirit for granted really is? It's being selfish. It's thinking that we opened up a parking space right by the store. I know I should have given you 3 points to make this sermon like a sermon, but I only have 1 point to help you to not take the Holy Spirit for granted. Here it is. Be thankful for the gift. Be thankful for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Your daddy loves you, and he gave you a gift. Be thankful. Be grateful for it. Receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Open the gift. Read the instruction manual. Learn how it works. Play with the gift of the Holy Spirit. And I don't mean play light. I mean like figure out how the gifts of the Holy Spirit work. Use the gift every day. Don't just pull it out on a Sunday, blow a little dust off it, be like, oh yeah, I got a little Holy Spirit. Forgot about that. No, my friend. Use the gift. Be grateful for the gift. Operate in the gifts every day, all day, every day with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. I want to read you a psalm about thanksgiving and look at the Lord's response. Psalm 100, famous psalm. And this might also, if you're new to church stuff and you think that everybody in here is crazy for singing the songs the way we did, let me explain why we do what we do. Psalm 100, verse 1. Shout with joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him singing with joy. Acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us, we are his, we are his people. He's our shepherd and we're the sheep of his pasture. Look at verse 4. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Hold that up for a second. Think about the temple in Jerusalem. It was a big building on top of a mountain, and people would go up to worship. And it had gates on the outside, and it had an outer courtyard and an inner courtyard. But look at what the key to unlock, verse 4, enter his gates with thanksgiving. Go into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good. And his unfailing love continues forever. There's nothing we can do to break God's love for us. His faithfulness continues forever. To your generation, to your children's generation, to your grandchildren's generation, thankfulness is the key to unlocking the gates of God's presence. Being grateful for what God has given you. I'm a natural father. I'm not a supernatural God in heaven father. But when my kids are grateful, I sneak them a little bit more. If we're giving candies out and one kid is like super grateful, I'm going to sneak that kid some more candy. I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying it's the way I do. My grateful kids get more. If my kids are being a snot and they're being ungrateful, they get less. God is probably better than me. I'm just saying that's how I do. And if God is a loving father, wouldn't he love to give us more if we show him some gratitude for what he has done? So, let me just recap Psalm 100, verse 1. Shout with joy, not whisper with your hands in your pocket. We have been commanded to shout with joy. If you can shout for your favorite sports team, if you're below average football team that did okay this year because they're playing bad teams, if you can shout, if you can shout, yeah, Washington's terrible. But I told you that before the season even started. Yeah, they tore my heart out, so. If we can shout for a Little League baseball game when a kid does well, we can shout for Jesus. If you won the lottery, would you not shout? Yeah. You won the King of Kings and Lord of Lords lottery, you're not going to hell. How about that? That'll give you something to shout about. You know what I'm saying? Verse 2, worship the Lord with gladness. Verse 3, acknowledge that he is good. He is a shepherd. We are his sheep. He protects us. He provides for us. Verse 4, enter into his presence, his gates, his courts with thanksgiving. The key to not taking the Holy Spirit for granted is to simply be grateful that he gave us this gift. Our gratitude opens the door to more of his presence because God is good. And look at this. It teaches the next generation to joyfully worship. Mom and dad, it's your responsibility to teach your children what joyful worship looks like. Your kids are like teenagers, adults. You're like, yeah, I don't know why they don't really worship. It starts when they're babies, when they're just crawling around in the room. Are you listening to worship music and dancing around your living room of your little one-bedroom apartment because you can't afford more because you're 22? But do they hear your shout of worship? Because then when they're 5 and you've got your little 2-bedroom and you're still got the worship music playing and you're teaching your kids to shout and dance and worship before the Lord. You finally bought that house, little 3-bedroom, 2-bath house in the suburbs out in Keller. Do they see mom and dad shouting to the Lord with grateful hearts for his power and his presence? We have to teach each generation Psalm 100 worship. Yeah. We have to, because it creates a lifestyle of worship and a lifestyle of gratitude. Worship is not 4 songs we sing on a Sunday. Worship is a lifestyle that we're always grateful to God for what he's done. Do you know that the Lord is actually looking, searching, the scriptures say, for you to worship like that? I want to freak you out. But the Lord is searching for you to worship like Psalm 100. Look at John chapter 4, what Jesus said in verse 23. The time is coming. In fact, bro, it's here right now. When true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for those that'll worship in that way. For God is spirit, So those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. He is looking for you to worship him in spirit. He is spirit. You have been filled with his spirit. So when you worship, it should not just be a natural, I stand here and I sing a song. It should be an overflow of the power and presence of the Holy Spirit in your life, and he's looking for it. In fact, can I take it a step further? Not only is he looking for you to worship like that, you make him smile. The Bible says he delights when you worship like that. Zephaniah 3:17, the Lord your God is living among you. He is a mighty Savior. He will take delight in you with gladness. With his love, he will calm all of your fears. He will rejoice over you with joyful songs. Some of you need to write this verse down right here, Zephaniah 3:17, and make this the verse you study all week long. The Lord will rejoice over you with joyful songs. He's going to sing songs of joy over you. Do you have fears and anxiety in your life? Worship with joy. The Lord, it's going to trigger his presence. It's going to trigger him singing over you. We can touch the emotions of God when we worship. When we go to him with thanksgiving in our hearts, we trigger the emotion of heaven with his joy over our life. And he opens the heaven and he pours out his presence. You don't have to wait to get to heaven to experience heaven. You can bring heaven down to earth now. You have access to his presence through the outer courts into his presence. What unlocks it? Gratitude, thanksgiving. We're asking the Father to visit us. Actually, let's go beyond visitation. Would you be happy if your dad just visited you once a week for 30 minutes? Let's go beyond church visitation to habitation. God, I want your power and your presence in my life all day, every day. It's not a religious thing. It's a passion thing. Most of the New Testament starts with Jesus, and then the Apostle Paul really unravels this analogy of Jesus being our groom, or what they would call the bridegroom, and the followers of Jesus, the church, being the bride. Fellas, we're going to have to be the bride for this analogy. Is that all right? It's Jesus' analogy, so you have to be all right with that. But that there, it's not a romantic love. It's a passionate love that we're consumed with him and we want to be with him, that we desire God's presence the same way that a bride desires the groom. I want to be in his presence. My wife flew to Israel. All morning long, it's been hard to prepare this message because she's been blowing my phone up with little kissy emojis and the little teddy bear that says, all of my love being poured out on all of you to receive it. Aww. Because she's crazy about me because I'm amazing. And I respond with, okay. I'm kidding. I ignored her. So here's, I was busy. I love you if you're watching online. You ever been a spouse that is pouring out all of your love, but it's not being reciprocated because somebody's watching a ball game or reading a book or Pinteresting? I had to throw the girls in there at the end. The love, that passion is meant to be shared, to be reciprocated. And sometimes, I've been married 23 years, 23? I've been married a long time, and I love my wife very much. But sometimes those embers of passionate love, they're not fanned into flame. So you have a date night. You'll have a weekend away. You'll fly down to Mexico. You'll go up to New York. You'll get away for anniversary. And you fan into flame that love. Listen, if you have forgotten the gift of the Holy Spirit, if you've taken the gift of the Holy Spirit for granted, you need to fan into flame that passion, that gratitude that you have for God's power and his presence. Speaking of my wife, I don't know if you guys know this, but I'm kind of cheap financially. If you've ever been to my house in the summertime, I put my air conditioning at like 78 or even 79. That is not a lie. But my electric bill on my four-bedroom house is only $200 a month. Okay, get on with your bad self. In the winter, it's the same thing. When it's like cold and rainy outside, I'll have the heat at like 65, and I'll hand my kids a sweater because I'm cheap. But when we do spend money, I try to really value what we spend our money on. We buy a gizmo, a gadget, we go out to eat. If we're going to spend money, I'm going to really appreciate the value that we invested in that thing. I don't want to take for granted what God has given us. When we take something for granted, it lessens, it cheapens the value of what was paid for it. When I got that gift from my parents, I'm like, cool, I just wanted to wear the hat, take a picture, and then throw it away. I lessened the value of what my parents paid for that. And so often we look at the cross and we think the cross is a revelation of our sin. We're sinful people. Jesus had to die on the cross for our sins. Although that is true, that is a wrong way of looking at the cross. The cross does not reveal our sin. The cross reveals our value to the Father. How high was the price that was paid to redeem us? The price was God's own son. So that's what we need to value, is the price that was paid for us to have relationship with Jesus and the price that Jesus had to pay to send us his spirit. We are so valuable to God that he gave up his own son to die for us and then put his spirit in us. So the reason we don't want to take the Holy Spirit for granted is because of the price that was paid for us to experience it. Don't take his Spirit for granted. Having the Holy Spirit in your life all day, every day, reminds you, you are a son, you're a daughter. He is the shepherd and you're one of his sheep. It takes the focus off of ourselves and it puts the focus on Jesus. That's what one of the jobs of the Holy Spirit is, to put our focus on Jesus, to demonstrate the power of Jesus operating in our lives and then to use us in our world. Do you remember back at the very beginning of this thing, John chapter 14, Jesus said that the Holy Spirit is going to be a comforter. Well, why do we need a comforter if we live such comfortable lives? We need to be comforted when we actually step out of our comfort zone. When we go on a missions trip to Shreveport to give Christmas dinner to the homeless. When we share the gospel wherever we go. If you're never uncomfortable, what is the need or the purpose of the Holy Spirit to comfort you? We need to go outside of our comfort zone and minister the gospel in power so that we get that nervous, anxious, Lord, I don't know if I can say this, pray for this person, whatever. Help me, Holy Spirit, to comfort me while I step out in faith. You ever... I remember this as a kid. This is a true story. Back in the, I guess, 70s and 80s, the outside of the front door used to have like glass panes that would go along. And the way it was is that they were little panes, like little 6-inch panes of glass. And you're a kid, so you're playing ball in the front yard and it bounces off the house or a window, but nothing breaks. So your mom comes out and screams bloody murder and says, "Don't you break that window, I'll break you." Because that's the way we talk to kids in the 70s. Now we're just like, "You did a great job hitting the window. Here's a treat," you know, whatever. "Here's a trophy for hitting the ball wrong." And you disobey your parents and you ignore them and you kick the ball one more time and it hits a pane of glass next to the door and it cracks the pane of glass. Doesn't knock it out, just puts a little crack in the pane of glass. And everybody loses their dang mind. And it's going to cost $1 billion to fix for an $8 piece of glass, and it's a major thing. I'm so upset with this major thing. But life's busy, you don't have time to fix that pane of glass. So you see it the next day, you're like, "Oh yeah, that pane of glass, I gotta get that fixed right away." And then a week goes by and you've seen that thing 7 times. Do you know that they say that if you see something 7 times, on the 8th time, you're just gonna ignore it. And then you're gonna go try to sell that house 5 or 6 years later and be like, "Holy cow, we have to fix this. Did anybody know we had a pane of glass broken in the front door?" We did that in our kitchen. My wife's going to hate this story. We remodeled our kitchen. We bought our house because it was 1984 kitchen. So we gutted all the old Formica and the old linoleum floors. And there was this weird fluorescent light thing. We gutted all that and fixed all that. We put in new floors and redid the cabinets and new countertops and painted. It's beautiful. But when I was remodeling, I took out the old ugly window sills. That was 5 years ago. I'm sure Josie notices, but nobody else in our family notices. We don't have any window sills in the kitchen. We still don't. My daughter pointed it out last night. She's like, "Dad, Mom's away. You gonna fix those window sills?" I'm like, probably not, but it's a nice sentiment. Because I've forgotten. I've seen it 700 times, and I've forgotten that it's a thing. I don't want to go 7 Sundays without seeing the Holy Spirit at New Life. I don't want to go 7 days without the power of the Holy Spirit in my life. I don't want to go 7 minutes without an utter dependency. Lord, I don't want to look past you. I don't want to put you in the back of my closet. We need the Holy Spirit so desperately in our lives. We can't afford to take him for granted. Hop up on your feet. We're going to pray. The Lord wants to fill us with his Spirit, teach us to live by his Spirit, and then send us out in his power to a hurting and dying generation. We're meant to be carriers of his power and his presence. We're meant to be filled, and that a river of living water would flow up and not be dammed up inside of us, but be shared wherever we go. Jesus declared in Acts 1 that the power of God would be poured out on the people of God by the Spirit of God. We're meant to not take this thing for granted, but to live in it so that the hurting and dying world that we experience all day, every day, can see the light and love of God wherever we go. If you've taken the Lord for granted in any way, just close your eyes and just ask the Holy Spirit. Say, Lord, if I've taken you for granted, I double dog dare you to repent. If you've taken your salvation for granted and you're still got one foot in sin, say, Lord, have I done that? I repent. If you've never stepped out of your comfort zone to minister the gospel, minister to people, you've taken for granted the comforter that comforts us. When I was praying about this morning, I, the Lord said, some people have taken the church for granted. It was all great and new and fancy when you first came here to New Life, and it was different than your old church. You got all excited about it. But you've been here a while, and you've taken it for granted that there's a house that loves you and wants to teach you to know God, to grow strong, and then have you do what God's called you to do. Maybe you need to repent for taking the body of Christ for granted. Because what happens is we go buy a new toy when we get sick of the old toy. You know how to show the Lord that you haven't taken his Spirit for granted? Open the gift. Use the gift every day. Wear his Spirit. Learn his Spirit. Love his Spirit. Share his power wherever you go. Lord, I want to see you with fresh eyes. I don't want to go 8 times and not see you. Give us fresh eyes, Holy Spirit, that we wouldn't take you for granted, that we wouldn't take your love for us, your power in us, the opportunities you've given us for granted, that we wouldn't even take our salvation for granted, the price that was paid on the cross for granted. If you're here this morning, and you'd be honest and said, I've taken my salvation for granted. I haven't been living for the Lord. Maybe you've never been living for the Lord. This might be the first time in your life you've ever asked the Lord to forgive you of sin, make Jesus the Lord of your life. Or maybe you've been a part of the church on and off over the years, but your heart has grown cold and you've taken your salvation for granted. And today you need to pray and ask God to forgive you once again. So whether it's your first time or your first time in a long time, I'd like to lead you in prayer to ask God to forgive you and that the Lord would be your Savior, your shepherd all over again. If you're here this morning, you want to pray that prayer with me, would you raise your hand up real high right now so I know who I'm praying for? I see your hands. Is there anybody else? 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 Come on, somebody. It's good. Hey, why don't we all pray this together? I saw 4 or 5 hands go up. Just pray this. Say, Dear Jesus, please forgive me of my sin. Please forgive me for taking you for granted. Wash me and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. Be the Lord of my life, the shepherd of my soul. I receive the gift of eternal life. I receive the gift of your Holy Spirit. Thank you so much for the price that was paid, for you to live in me and to pour out your Spirit on me. I love you, Lord. I thank you. In Jesus' name, what you say? Hey, you four or five fellas that raised your hand, man, I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of you. Come on, somebody. Maybe you're here this morning and you're like, man, I've taken the Lord for granted. I've taken the Bible. I never even got into that. Taking the Bible for granted. I heard another story this week out of communist China where they really cracked down on Bible distribution. So back 30 years ago, they used to tear out one page of the Bible. The Chinese Christians would memorize that page and then they would swap with somebody else. They never had the Bible. They had to memorize the Bible because it was contraband. It was forbidden by the government. And certain provinces and districts in China today, 30 years later, they're cracking back down on the illegal Bible, and people are going back to memorizing the scriptures. How many versions of the Bible do you have in your Bible app in your pocket? In English, there's probably over 100 different translations. When was the last time you read one of them? We take the Word of God for granted. We take the Spirit of God for granted. We take forgiveness for granted. How many of you have asked God to forgive you of getting drunk, getting high, getting angry, lust, pornography, whatever? God, I'm so sorry, I'll never do it again. And then a week later, you're back in the same sin. And then you're like, oh, Lord, I'm still sorry. One more time. Forgive me, wash me, cleanse me of all unrighteousness, purify me. Do you know that Hebrews chapter 6 says that what we're doing is that we're nailing Jesus to the cross time and time again? We're not going to have time to get into that. Don't put Jesus back on the cross. Don't take the price that was paid for you for granted. So we're going to worship, but man, some of us have some work to do. We really need to pray and ask Holy Spirit to forgive us. Ask Holy Spirit to open our eyes to areas that we've taken for granted. Whether it be His Word, His Spirit, His body, His gifts, His power, His love for us.